Our scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 13. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lee. There was a fascinating event that took place in the sports world this week, and had nothing to do with playing the game. Two Major League Baseball teams traveled to Tokyo this week to play the first two games of the Major League season. You might know, Japan loves baseball as much or more than the United States. Several Japanese players have had excellent careers in the Major Leagues, but none so much as Ichiro Suzuki. He played for the Seattle Mariners, who were one of the teams in Japan. They were playing Oakland. Throughout his career, Ichiro has been all you needed to say. He was known by his first name. Now Ichiro is 45 years old. They act like that's old. But if you combine his Japanese and his American careers, he has been the most prolific batter in history. Ichiro started in right field for the Mariners this week at 45. But during the game, it was announced that he would be retiring from the sport after that game. At the start of the eighth inning, after Ichiro had gone out into the field, the Mariners' manager sent out a defensive replacement for him. You can imagine the crowd cheering. All his teammates gathered in foul territory to congratulate him. One by one, he shook hands with and hugged each player and coach. But one player, shown here, D. Gordon, in deference to Japanese custom, stood back at first and said, "All I can do is bow." To which Ichiro, in a remarkably American-sounding accent, I don't know why it surprised me by now, but it did, he said, "No, come on." He motioned Gordon to come close and embrace him. It was a beautiful and classy scene, much more important than anything that happened during the game itself. The gesture by D. Gordon said, "I am not worthy. You are far more excellent than I ever hoped to be." Now, he's a good player. Both of these guys, they turn off the light at night and get into bed before it's dark. I mean, they're fast. But Ichiro said, "It does not matter. I value you, and I insist on sharing affection with you." He was, of course, right not to let his skill at a mere game be valued more highly than the relationship he had with someone he worked beside and traveled with for seven straight months last season, which was actually the only season they were teammates. Now, obviously, Ichiro Suzuki is a mortal. He is a mortal who, like us, needs God in his life, no different than you and me. But in Ichiro's gesture toward a younger player, we have a wonderful image of the father love of God. Because we, mortal, fallible human beings, truly are not worthy, to approach the immortal and perfectly holy Lord God Almighty, the one who is, as we sang, the way, the truth, and the life. Not the least reason for our unworthiness is the cavalier, God owes it to me because after all I'm wonderful, attitude that many people in Western culture display. And frankly, runs epidemic in this metropolis that calls itself the hub of the universe. Lent, the season leading up to Easter, is a time for us to remember the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made on behalf of us, the unworthy. We're not worthy. He asks for our love in return, and he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But we don't keep them, do we? Even the best of us know the times we have done what we ought not to have done and failed to do what we ought to have done. So when we come to Lent, this time when Jesus says, draw near, we want to stand back and say, I can only bow. But Jesus much more powerfully and infinitely more significantly says, no, come on. Bring it in. Feel my embrace. Let me love you. So let us make Lent not a season of staying back, but obediently drawing near to our loving Master who bids us come closer. There are many ways we can do that, many ways we can come closer. I want to emphasize one today, that's drawing near by sensing the breath of God in the Word of God. Lee read for us from the book of Isaiah. This passage is wonderful. It was a favorite of Bonhoeffer's, the fellow who was hero of Germany's confessing church that stood against Hitler during World War II. He was fond of it, especially for the verses that assure us that God sends forth his word to accomplish his purposes. Because it is his word, it will. Success is assured. Just like rains water the earth, God's word will bear fruit where it is proclaimed. When I'm doing woodworking, sometimes guilty of trying to make the Bible more effective by working it, but that we have to frame it just right. We spend more time on the devotional guides or on the commentary than we do on the Bible. But get this straight. The Word of God is the power tool. We need to let it do the work. It accomplishes the purpose like water refreshes the earth. You know, sermons are good. God is present in the proclamation of his word. The Holy Spirit sifts out the chaff and allows the true seed of his spirit to take root in each one who hears, for it to germinate, to grow, and bear fruit in our lives. But there's a reason why we read the Bible on its own. Because the Word of God is the power tool. One of the biggest jobs the Bible accomplishes as the written Word of God is the transforming work it does in each believer. St. Paul or simply Paul, citizen of Tarsus, the great gospel spreader to the non-Jewish world in the first Christian century. He was very concerned about his young protege, Timothy, who had sort of apprenticed under Paul. Paul had placed Timothy in the city of Ephesus to lead the young church there. Young as a church, many much older people in it. Humanly speaking, Timothy was in over his head. Maybe you've felt over your head at something like, oh boy, I don't know if I can do this. Paul made sure that Timothy stayed connected to God's power tool. He wrote two letters to Timothy. And today's lesson I'm about to read for you comes from the second of those letters, apparently written just a little time before Paul's death. Listen as I read from 2 Timothy, and notice how these verses have the gravity of someone's last words to someone they care about and are counting on. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings, suffering the things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But wicked people and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. The most important thing you can do to strengthen your spiritual life is read the Bible every day. And Lent is a terrific time to start. Even 16 days or so into Lent, which is where we are, it's a great time to start. Any time is a wonderful time to start keeping a daily appointment with God. Lots of Christians do it in the morning, but the affairs of the day can rush in. You do it in the morning before the affairs can rush in. Paul is concerned about the pressures, the destructive forces that Timothy will face, especially as the lead of Christ followers in a city where the number one tourist attraction was a pagan shrine that was complete with cult prostitutes. Timothy has had to repeatedly deal with timidity, being timid. Paul told him not to let anyone look down on him because he was young, but instead to set an example for the believers. And Paul told him also a verse that was read at Camilla's baptism. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear doesn't come from God. But God gives us power, love, and a sound mind, or self-control. So Paul gives Timothy the most valuable gift he can give a young man he values as if he was his son. He shows him how to withstand outside pressures. Don't we all need that, to know how to do what is right in spite of pressures we might feel? To follow the magnetic north needle of the compass that God gives us, that moral compass, to follow it without wavering. Paul reminds Timothy of some of the extreme hardships and persecutions he had endured during his ministry, including imprisonments and beatings. He says, out of all these, the Lord rescued me. He tells Timothy hardships will come his way too. For everyone who wishes to live a God-fearing life will be persecuted by the powers of this world. Powers that stand opposed to God. And he says it's going to get worse. He says evil people and charlatans will progress to greater evil. Not real progress, is it? He says that doesn't have to mess up Timothy, because Timothy's been shown how to use God's power tool. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy had the benefit of both a mother and a grandmother who were Christian believers, so that all his life, those who raised him had been pouring Scripture into him, teaching him and challenging him to live according to the divine wisdom. Now, the reason the Bible is God's power tool is to give you Paul's words literally. He literally says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Useful toward teaching, toward refuting error. There's a lot of errors thrown out as if they were truth these days. And for teaching in righteousness, we need more righteousness. There's too much corruption. God loves the human race too much to leave us to our own imaginings of how to find a way to Him, how to do what's right. Our brains are too small to understand God. We can't figure out His ways just by our own reason. But God is too loving to leave us abandoned. He wants you to draw near. He's saying, come on. He wants you to grow in your ability to understand His will so that you can walk in the path of blessing. He wants you to be able to face every challenge in your life. And the longer we live, the more we know what those challenges can be like. Sadness, struggles, temptation, crippling destructive habits. Face them and find the way out. Dawson Troutman was a young man in Long Beach, California, with romance on his mind. He was out swimming in a lake with a young woman in the middle of the night when they decided to try to swim all the way across the lake. About halfway across, he realized he was not going to make it. They were exhausted. He fell under the waves, and while underwater, he said to God, get me out of this and I will do whatever you want. And just then a boat came by that he hadn't known was there. They were rescued, and then the next Sunday night, Troutman went to a young people's meeting at a church, and they were having a contest memorizing Scripture. They hand out a list of 10 Bible verses, and the next week he'd memorized all 10. And at first, his life didn't change. He'd kind of forgotten that vow he made under the water. But because those verses were locked in his mind, the phrase from one of them, Jesus saying, "The one who believes in me has eternal life," took hold. And he told God, I want that. So not only did he continue to learn more, he put his faith in action. And he began meeting with sailors who were docked nearby at a Navy base. God used his dedication and teaching to do a great work. And it continues today, and they're called the Navigators. The Navigators are internationally regarded as experts in helping people grow in their knowledge and use of the Bible. They have a guide to a regular time of personal devotion, what I was taught to call my quiet time, that is called the 5 R's. And I want to share those 5 R's with you this morning. First one is to refocus. Refocus your heart and mind through confession and praise. You come to God, think less of yourself, more of God. Before coming into God's presence, consider any sins to confess. You're approaching a holy God. If you're anxious, if something in your life is distracting you from meeting with God, quickly record, write down your thoughts on a piece of paper. Ask God to help you focus on Him. Review the previous 24 hours. Thank Him for His goodness to you. Be as specific as possible. That's refocus. Next is read. Read a passage from the scriptures and select the passage ahead of time. None of this kind of stuff. You might begin by reading through one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the beginning of the New Testament. Focus on Jesus. Many like to read a psalm a day or a chapter from Proverbs. A daily reading program, you can Google that, daily Bible reading program, to read through the Bible in a whole, in a 1 year. That can be a good place to start. So you read. And then number three is you reflect on what you've been reading. Think about it. Bible meditation helps us get below the surface of the text. Ask some questions about the text. Use who, what, where, when, why, how. Spend a few minutes answering some of those questions. That's reflect. Then number four is record. Record your discoveries in a notebook. Ask the Holy Spirit to give a new insight from His Word daily. Record one takeaway thought. Okay, this morning, this day, I'm going to think about what this is in this scripture. This thought that's come to me during this time. Think about that through the day. That's meditation. That's contemplation. So after record, which is number four, the fifth one is respond to the Father. Respond to God. In simple, practical obedience to what you've read. Ask Him to help you carry it out and then do it. Take time to imagine what your life would be like if you applied this new discovery. And then, this is important, pray over your schedule. You might know what's coming up in your day. Most of us have some idea. There's always some surprises. But commit it all to God and His glory. See, God loves us too much to abandon us to our own devices. He sends out His Word. It will accomplish the purposes He has for it. It is God-breathed. It is His power tool for blessing and transforming the lives of His children. He wants you to draw near. He's got a better path for each of us. Find time every day to be taught and reassured by the love your Heavenly Father has for you. Love He shows in all the pages of the Bible. Let's draw near to God. Near enough that we can sense the very breath of God in the Word of God. Let's pray. Oh Lord, how amazing it is that You want us to draw near. In our humanity, when someone has betrayed us, we want to push them away. But You ask us to come closer. Thank You for that love. Forgive us for when we neglect it, for when we mistake it for tolerating our wrongdoing. But instead, Lord, help us to not only draw near in our hearts, but also with our actions. And teach us to come to Your Word. Help us to see Your grace and wonder in each page. And teach us to have Your words on our lips. That in our actions and our speech and our thoughts, we might give witness to You. You who love us with an everlasting love. You who tells us to come close. In Jesus' name.